We're going to go to Matthew chapter 5 this morning. Thank you. Matthew chapter 5. In the past 2 weeks, we focused on the heart and the mouth, showing the correlation between the two and how they manifest their results, seemingly in tandem. And this week, we're going to focus on something just as something that we practice as we continue asking ourselves the question of the series, which is, what are you doing with these topics, of course? So, something to establish early on is the fact that we are not going to preach work salvation this morning. I encourage you to listen, keep it in context as we go through it. As Christians in this world, of course, we talk about this a lot, where we're held to a certain standard, but there are two different standards depending on the people that you're around, of course. The word Christian, like if you're in the Christian camp, if that's what you identify as, then the expectation is due to really work to be a prayer warrior or to be a words speaker. You know, you speak into his existence, you speak into the ears of God, and it happens. But really, there's nothing else you're really held to do. You don't have to like or dislike anything different. You don't have to have different preferences and so on and so forth. And then the other camp, those who have nothing to do with God, you're held to a much higher standard, where in fact that you are done everything possible to prove your hypocrisy or prove the hypocrisy of the church. Those are the two camps that, of course, are set up. And they will even manufacture something to prove their point about you. And both of those has little to do with what? That perception has little to do with what you say or meditate on, like we talked about last 2 weeks. Honestly, if they just hear from somebody that you are a Christian, that's all they have to hear in order to work out this image of you that they have. They don't have to hear you speak. They don't need to know what you're thinking on, meditating on, actively participating in the contemplation of. That honestly has nothing to do with what they think of you. So what are you to do then? We're going to go ahead and read Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 and set the base for the lesson today. It says in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." This particular passage is specific in that it doesn't mention the attitude of your heart or the words of your tongue, because it sets the stage of the candle being lit previously to being set on the candlestick. And I speak about this often when I'm up here, is that we are to be lanterns, and that the light doesn't come from the lantern, but the light is put into the lantern and is then used to light the way for all other men. We are the proverbial candle in this parable. It's a proverbial representation of what we are to be. You go to the store and you buy a candle. Does that give you instant light? No, but the light, the candle is there to provide light. And it's automatically assumed that these candles that you buy will at some point provide light to you. But the light has to come from somewhere in order for it to be effective. Furthermore, it has to be posted somewhere on a candlestick or on a great table somewhere. I know when the power goes out, we tend to find the highest points for our candles to go, because it then goes up and refracts down to where the most light is shown. So keep that in mind as you would as we go through this. The meditation and words are right, but next comes something that you demonstrate to demonstrate the light that is in you, which is good works. Works are often an underrated part of Christianity, and it's often taken to one extreme or the other. We talked about parties of the first of this, we're going to talk about the parties of the second of this. You got two parties that generally people like to post themselves in. That's the filthy rag party or the works to be saved party. And I've grown up to where I've been in the midst of both camps, to where there are people who simply believe that you can be saved, but you must work to keep it. And then the other party that believes that anything you do after you're saved is nothing more than filthy rags, so why even try? There's actually a third party that's in there. It's called the holiness party, where you believe that the works are, that you that are manifested through you are simply the works of the God sanctifying you, and these are the works that we are to do. That's the party we're going to look at today. The two parties are wrong because, one, good works are not filthy rags when done in the right spirit, which is done by meditation, active contemplation. But on the other side of it, works to be saved is also improper motivation, because then you're doing it for selfish gain. It's just like we talked about the past 2 weeks, where you're actively contemplating the ways and the things of God to do what? To more perfectly incorporate them into your heart, to write it on the tablets of your heart, so that you can be more like Christ. And to be more like Christ is to... Christ did good works. Do you think he did that just because? No. I don't believe Jesus did good works and miracles on this to simply prove his deity or to simply prove he was God. I simply don't believe that. Jesus did good because it is righteous and holy to do good. We drop this ball with the most popular filthy rags party because doing good then means absolutely nothing. That is a very dangerous doctrine because it simply eliminates the need to do good. They preach, and the same people preach, this isn't a get out of hell free card like Monopoly or something, but they still use this as a way to get out of hell but not have to do good. Everything they do that's good is just a bonus. And so they build it into an incentivization program where you'll get so many crowns, you'll get so many mansions, you'll get so many whatevers if you do good. But that's really all there is. And the give to get, that's pretty popular as well. So to remember that good works are not simply a manifestation of your own holiness, but rather it's a manifestation of Christ in you. Because at the core of good is Jesus Christ, the definition of good. So when we say good works, you have to keep it out of your head that this is something we're doing because we're not obligated to do good. Because good is not an obligation. It's something that you are or that you are not. Or something that God is and something that the devil is not. Good and evil have been taken out of context for so long, I feel like we put it in different boxes or categorize it, make it circumstantial definitions wherever we need it or whenever we need it. And that's something that's super dangerous. In Hebrews 9:14, it says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" That verse, in and of itself, proves that there are living works that are possible through the living God. So works have two definitions now, have two circumstances rather. They're either dead works or they're living works. No matter what you're doing, you're always doing a work. Right now we're doing a work. But what do works pivot on? The intention. That's exactly correct. Whenever I tell my children to do something and they huff off and do it, the general reaction of me is, well, I don't want you to do it if you're going to do it that way or if you're going to do it with that attitude. At work, I say this a lot. They say, we'll never get this done. And I always say, not with that attitude. You know how many things quitters ever got done in their life? One thing, and that's quitting. Because their attitude of their heart was hopeless. My children, the attitude of their heart when I tell them, hey, go pick up your blanket and keep it in your room. I don't want it out here. Quit dragging it around. And they huff and go pick it up. It's like, no, you're not going to do that with that attitude because you're not understanding what I'm trying to tell you. The work is not good. They obeyed and picked up the blanket, but they did not obey in their heart. So the work was not good. So, when you're up here and somebody's preaching, just say good works for salvation, and you do that work for the sake of having salvation, the work is now no longer good. It's tainted with selfish intent. And thus is no longer a good work. It may be a good thing to do, but not a good work to do, because all it's really done is further damned your heart. So works are not a simply something you do. It's the attitude in which you do it. It goes all the way back to the meditation of your heart, because that will dictate the works that you then do. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:10 through 11, "And indeed ye do it towards all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." There was so much that they told them to do. They said, look, and you ought to read the whole chapter, the whole book, before he gets here. He said, but this is what we beseech you to do. To go about and study, to be quiet, do your own business, work with your own hands as we commanded you. It is something they told them to do. They did tell them to do works, but the whole previous context of that chapter is telling them in how, in which to do it. It wasn't something you just go to church and do. It's not something you just go to the church to build on Saturdays to do. It has to do more with the attitude of your heart. Why are you showing up on Saturday? Why do you show up on Sunday and Wednesday? Why do you maintain your composure or quote scripture to people? Why do you do all that? To further the picture of holiness that is Seth Miller, Mike Miller, Gary Wright, whoever, put your name in there. Is that the intent in which you do it, so that people know that you, sir, are righteous? Or is it for the glory of God as a whole, because that's simply what you are, that's simply what you want to be, that's what you want more of? The intention behind it is terribly important. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17 says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father," if you haven't noticed who it is yet, it's right there, "which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and" what?
Work.
This work that we're doing to ourselves, to our mind, to the church, for the church, is for Christ Jesus. And the work must first come from there. So when you hear this in the Bible, like in verse 17 or 16 rather here, where it says that they may see your good works. It's not your good works. It says, "and glorify your Father which is in heaven." It's He establishes your word and your works. He, through meditation on His word and through the fellowship with Him, ought to give you the words, ought to give you the deeds that you are to do. Your hands ought not be your own. Your feet ought not be swift to mischief or swift to whatever you want to do. He shouldn't have to pull you off course, go out of your way, you know, to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. They ought to be guided very, very swiftly and carefully by Him at every move. All these verses that are found focus on one thing, which is works. A lot of things are narrowed down to a bare essentials and thrown in the impossible basket. Any verse I've ever heard preached on with the word works on it simply tells you that unless you're Super Paul, you just simply can't do them. It's because we're looking at works just like we are now. These works that we look, they're right. They are simply impossible without God. I think that's where the disconnect is because Paul had God. And these works were God's works done through Paul. It wasn't Paul doing God's work. It was God's work done through Paul. Take yourself out of the equation and these works are possible. Put yourself back in the equation and you can be used to do these works for God. Not your works for God, but God's works through you. We treat this like a business. We treat this like it's some sort of grand corporation. I know one preacher, he said, this church is financed through the First Bank of Heaven and I'm his best employee. You can't think like that. Employment is a man-made concept. And when we apply it to heavenly things, it simply doesn't work. Because, in fact, the United States of America still, just the politics of it all, is also not biblical. So if we are also to apply everything to the kingdom of heaven, then we're going to be really messed up. There's not going to be Congress. Hallelujah. There's not going to be a president. Hallelujah. There's going to be one king and one person worshiped for all eternity by all willing subjects. And everyone who is not willing will not be there. It's at the end of the Bible. That's the way it goes. Yeah. That's why we can't understand really fully unless we look at it from the way the Bible sets it up. So if you're looking at this as a, you know, you come to church, so now Mike Miller is God's employee and he's from the Bank of Heaven, paid so much a week just to make sure he can make it and pay his bills and meet his needs. And so to help him out, he hires other people. He hires Matt, he hires Seth, he hires me, just whatever, to kind of fill in the blanks. And that's the way God does it. And he sets it up. And as you need them, this is what he said, he will send his employees to your church. And so they ran the church like that. There were church employees and they were paid. But see, you have now taken the work of God and made it your work for God. You see the difference here? You can do God's work through you, or you can do your work for God. We run it backwards. So now, just thinking that you're doing your work for God, you've now taken everything the Bible says about good works, and now it doesn't make sense. So to make it make sense, we have totally misconstrued what good works is, and that's what makes it impossible. Because with man, this is impossible. That applies to a lot more than we like to throw it into, but that's the way that it is. Work should never be what the Christian relies on as their validation of salvation, but it should be the goal to prove their salvation to the world. Something that we forget is even though we have been delivered from our sins, we are also delivered to something as well. And that is a higher existence through God. Not higher existence with God, but to God. Your body is a holy sacrifice. Should be, which is giving your body. When you sacrifice something, it's not you don't, like, if you were to sacrifice your car to anybody, you wouldn't be using your car to do your work for them. You would give it to that person to do their work through the car. You would have nothing to do with it. Think of that way with your body. You don't give your body to do your work for God. When most people give their life to Christ, quote unquote, they say, I want to do more for you. When really the prayer should be, I want you to do more through me. Good works ruins your life if you don't look at it correctly. It'll infect the church with nothing more than selfish, filthy lucre, because we're all trying to do our own work for the church. Yeah. We're all trying to do our thing because we can help the church like this. My skill set can help God this way, so that's what I'm going to do. Your good works is as filthy rags. You then fall in that camp. That's what that means. When you decide what you're going to do for God to further His kingdom, it is as filthy rags. It does no good. But you ought to allow God to do His good works through you. In James 2:18 says, yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, we all knew I was going to pull that verse out of there because it has the word works in there at least twice. We villainized works to an unhealthy level where we almost discount it completely. And just to think about how faithfulness is proven, how trust is proven. Think about how integrity is proven. Your actions during a situation that call for those virtues are proven in your heart and mind by the work that is done, whether correctly or incorrectly. It shows that you either have integrity or you don't. You either have trust or you don't. You have faith or you don't. These are situations that are tried, but not when done incorrectly. Something that has really been messed up here is because we just almost choose not to think about this the way we need to think about it. We throw works under the bus, and you know why it's wrong to smoke and drink do drugs, and so on and so forth? Because scientifically, it affects your judgment, which alters your actions and reactions to things as well. Keep in mind, we are supposed to do God's work through us, correct? Which keeps our heart and mind clear as we are to meditate on the things of God. You start doing those things and it completely shifts the gears in your mind and you're no longer focused. But you're still a Christian, you know. Things like TV, too much sports, and the great epidemic of stuff like pornography have absolutely altered the game of our mind in the church.
Yes.
And this topic of good works has absolutely been thrown out the window because we've taken these and they alter it. It alters your brain chemistry, obviously, to make you more self-serving, agitated, and reactionary, all which are enemies of good works and are nothing but filters for self-serving opinions. In Hebrews 6:10 it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to saints and do minister." Which means what? It says right there that you're ministering and do minister. You have ministered to the saints and do minister. Is that going to happen when our mind is not in the right place for good works? When we are not focused on God, when we're partaking in self-pleasures because it's okay to have a little wine. It's okay to just smoke. It's just a vice, man. It's just what it is. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm watching this. I'm doing that. Nothing's wrong with it. There is no ministering to the saints because there's no ministering in your heart because it pulls your heart away. And the church then has so many problems because we are honestly just doing our work for God instead of God's work through us. What is good works if not what God works through us? Because there is none good except the Father. So most churches do have it right in that we cannot perform good works because we refuse to let God have His work through us. Good works are not here to win favor or make something mysteriously visible to you about God. They're here to bless each other in sainthood and show the world that Jesus saves from sin and saves to something worth having. It's not the good words or prayer or the quiet, deep thinking of God's word alone, because people don't see that. People, and you hear this all the time, "Well, I can't read your mind." Well, that's very true. 100% true. Even further, people really can't read your heart. But they see what you say, but more of what you do. I refer back to last week, it says your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. We talked about the second part last week. This is the first part. This is your walk, and it does talk louder than your talk talks. This is what it is. Your good works are recognized by literally anybody as that. Your good works, which are the filthy rags. It's almost like the filthy rags there are what people see. They don't even see the good work. They do see it as filthy rags. That's why the Bible says it, because everybody will see it that way. They'll react to both, but are watching actively for you to act out of turn with the Word of God, because everybody knows something of the Word of God that you're not doing. What are you doing with your actions? What are you doing with your good works? Are they your good works? Do you understand so well who you are, like the world tells us to do, that you understand what your skill set is, what you can do for the church, what you bring to the table, if you will? Those gloves just don't fit my hands. Here's what I actually do, and this is the way that I can help the church. This is the way that I can help God. That's not the attitude we ought to have. God can use anybody, but He can't use anybody that's not willing. Good works are not some mystery that we have to figure out what we can do, what God can use us for, what gift we have, and such like that. All the sermons and the conferences and the meetings that I've been through where people It's for that purpose. You got one meeting to figure out what spiritual gift you have. You got a meeting to figure out if you're a missionary. You got a meeting to figure out where you're going, what you can do in the church. They have job fairs at church to figure out what you can do for the church. How overcomplicated have we become? If they are your good works, they are not good at all. They do nothing but soothe your self-serving heart. You need to give your heart and mind and soul and body to God so that good works can be done through you. Because without that, there are no good works done by you. They're merely good things to make yourself feel better. What are you doing with this? What are you doing with your heart? Are you understanding that there is none good, no, not one, except for God? So anything done outside of God is then the opposite, which is not good. What are you doing? Be used by God, for God, and just good works through God, through you. Don't let it be your good works for the church.